Salt is subtitled A Story of Friendship in a Time of War. The friendship is between two 12-year-old boys named James and Aniqua. The time of war is the War of 1812. British and American armies are preparing to collide at Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today, Fort Wayne is a city with over 250,000 people. In 1812, it was a military fort in the Indiana Territory and home to about 80 American soldiers and some of their families. More American settlers lived and farmed in the area surrounding the fort, inside a stockade. That's where James and his family ran a trading post. Aniqua and his family lived within walking distance of the stockade in Kikiyonga, part of the Native American Miami Nation. But what does their story have to do with salt? That's a question South Burlington teacher Bobby Pennington put to her fifth grade class.
Is salt a symbol?
Yeah.
What's it a symbol of? Michaela.
Life.
Tell me more about that.
It's about, like, helping you keep your life because you need salt to live.
Okay, so we all need salt.
What does it have to do with this book?
What does salt have to do with these two friends in the War of 1812? Students had to dig beneath the surface to find the answer. Dorothy's List recorded the students' questions and posed them to author Helen Frost. First, here's fifth grader Kimberly Herrera.
Why did you choose to call your book Salt?
Finding a title for a book is something that I work really hard at. So in Salt, I realized that the book was a lot about how people live on the earth together and who has access to the resources of the earth. So salt was a very specific thing that people needed, but it's also symbolic because of the way it comes out of the earth. So for me, that one word title, I don't think it was oversimplified, but it was really just one element of the book that I chose to use to focus a lot of what I was saying.
Interspersed throughout the story are poems describing the history of salt and the role it plays on the earth. Fifth grader Sabina Carabin was curious about those poems, and she has an example.
How did you think of the poems that divided the book into parts? For example, the earth lifts and tilts. Water flows from high ground to low around rock. Salt carried by water moves through sand, salt and sand through time pressed into stone.
Wow, what a beautiful thing for you to read my poem back to me. Thank you. I think that the salt poems give depth to the story because it takes it before the story began, way, way back. You know, it goes back to the beginnings of when the ocean covered this whole land before either Aniqua's people or James's people were here. So it just gives it more depth. And I thought a lot about that, and I did a lot of research about salt too, how it was formed and how it came to be here and how it was negotiated. It's not all in the book directly. You can't have all the answers to every question of what happened to salt in the story, but it's behind the story. And I thought that it was important to give the deeper truth about how salt came to the earth in the first place and where it goes after the story ends, too.
While the subject of salt is an undercurrent throughout the book, the story is about a friendship between two boys who didn't even speak the same language. James and Aniqua have a lot to teach each other, but their relationship is threatened when James's family aligns with the American soldiers and Aniqua's community supports British troops in the siege of Fort Wayne. South Burlington fifth grader Silas O'Brien wondered how the author chose this setting for her story.
What inspired you to write about the War of 1812?
Helen Frost says the idea came from the place where she lives, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I would say my inspiration was from the land. There are three rivers that meet here. And so I was really interested in how those three rivers had been important throughout history. And 1812 turned out to be one very important event in history when the fort came under siege, and those 10 days or so in September were, to me, a turning point in the history of our community. where things could have gone one way or another, and things, you know, there's a lot of points like that throughout history, and even now, where we look at things that are happening and we see things could go in one direction or another. And so 1812 seemed to be, in this place, that kind of a year where it was a crucial year in terms of how the history developed after that.
Salt is a novel written in poems. The point of view alternates between James and Aniqua, and the two narrators each have their own distinctive poetic voices. That piqued the interest of fifth grader Catherine White.
Why do you choose to write in poetry form?
Yes, that's a good question, Catherine. You know, my training as a writer when I was in college and after that too was in poetry. And so I considered myself a poet. And I always wrote poetry, but I liked what we call narrative poetry. That means poetry that carries a story inside it, or that's part of what the poem is. So when I was writing a longer story, and if I started writing it without poetry, I really missed what I think of as my poetry toolbox. And by that I mean the way that words look on the page and the way they sound when you read them out loud. So I love having those tools available to me when I'm writing, whether I'm writing a story or just one single poem. And that's why I chose to write Salt in the way that I did.
Fifth grader Hayden Posey also had a question about the author's compact style of writing.
How do you discuss so much in so little words?
You know, that's a tough question because it's not easy. You know, I think of everything that I want to say, and then I think of the way that I can say it most precisely. And this has to do with poetry, too, to me, that poetry helps me focus on the details of language. If I have, especially in a book like this where I'm looking at each poem having only so many words because of the shape, then if I have some extra words and I'm trying to make it fit into that shape, then I just sort of take out the extra words almost like a sculptor would take, you know, a piece of granite. It's almost like cutting out the words that aren't needed in order to make it a stronger poem and still say exactly what I wanted to say.
Fifth grader Sophia Richland had a unique question for the author about her characters.
If you had the chance to go and talk to James and Aniqua, what would you talk about?
Oh, what an interesting question, Sophia. If I could talk to them after they were adults, that would be interesting too, to see what happened to them after the story that I wrote ended. That might not be such a happy story for Aniqua, because it turned out my story is in 1812, and in 1846, most of the Miami were forced to leave this land of Indiana. They were moved first to Kansas and then to Oklahoma. So it would be interesting, too, to talk to both James and Aniqua maybe 30 or 40 years after the story took place and see what their lives had been like and what they had to say about that.
Back in her classroom, fifth grade teacher Bobby Pennington reads another poem from Salt. And like water and salt being returned to the earth as tears, the message sinks in.
Tears come from earth and sky, from words moving through us. We taste them as they fall, leaving salt streaks on our faces. We bear witness as they splash back to earth and are absorbed. Think about this one. Where's the salt this time? Where's the salt, Justin?
From tears.
It's from tears. Where's it going? What do you think, Greta?
Down our faces.
Down our faces, and then where?
They're dripping off.
To where?
To the ground.
To the ground, which is kind of where this all began. Remember when the ocean
spread
across and left the salt on the earth, which eventually sank down?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's clear these South Burlington fifth graders will never look at salt the same way again. For VPR News, I'm Amy Noyes.